The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My friend Beth Ann Rossica is joining us. And Beth Ann, as you know, local mom who found herself on the front battle lines, you know, battling for transparency in her own school district, somebody who's a PhD, somebody who's an education expert, somebody who's a caring, loving mom. And probably, you know, one of these, I would say about you, Beth Ann, that 10, 20 years ago, you probably never imagined that you would be, you know, considered in our region as somebody who has been at the forefront, at the front of the battle lines, just fighting for transparency, fighting for your children's rights. And I don't want to speak for you, but I would imagine, you know, 10, 20 years ago, you never, ever would have thought, wow, I'm going to be that person caught in the crossfire of politics, if you will.
No, that is an understatement, Dawn. I absolutely wouldn't have expected it. And even 5 years ago, I wouldn't have expected that. So you are absolutely correct.
So take me through your latest piece. I know we've talked so much about your work in education, but really we have to talk about the media being complicit and how the media does matter. You are somebody, and if somebody's just tuning in and you're not, maybe you're new to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, and we're here at Odyssey World Headquarters in Philadelphia. But, you know, you're somebody who has talked about, you know, the fact that you've had to file, for example, for freedom of information. You know, you've put out those requests just because you wanted to know what was going on. And as a taxpayer, as a community member, you've had to fight for that information. That brings us to defining and redefining who and what is a journalist. I would say you are a journalist, Beth Ann Rossica. You are that journalist who's that citizen journalist, and that's really part of our great democracy, part of our great republic.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and it's interesting because I certainly never considered myself a journalist. I've always been a good writer and I've always liked to write. So that part comes easy. But doing the journalistic work is a lot harder. I've had a great mentor at Broad and Liberty, Todd Shepard, who constantly keeps me on the straight and narrow to be able to do things correctly. So I'm very grateful for him. But my latest piece at Broad and Liberty really focused on the media bias covering RFK, Robert Kennedy Jr. And, you know, I followed Kennedy's campaign. I really liked a lot of what he had to say. I certainly didn't agree with him on everything, but I definitely liked him. And I liked his independent stance on a lot of issues. And throughout his campaign, I could see how the media just treated him so unfairly. And it all came to a head for me last Friday when he gave his speech talking about suspending his campaign and throwing his endorsement behind Trump in the battleground states. And I was just literally appalled at the way that the mainstream media covered his speech. All of the mainstream media stopped recording. They stopped live streaming when he was talking. And none of the headlines. And the reason that I even looked at this is because at Broad and Liberty, we send out a weekly email on Sundays. For those people who don't get it, you can sign up on the broadandliberty.com website. But we send out a weekly email, and we always include at the bottom a what are we reading story. So, you know, some other news outlet story that we've all found interesting on our team. And I said, oh, let's find something about, you know, the RFK, you know, suspending his campaign and how he really shredded the mainstream media. Well, wouldn't you know, I couldn't find anything. Huh. It was crazy. So I said, well, I guess this is what I'll be writing about next week. And so that is really what inspired me to write this article, is that all of the headlines, and you can see it, I have links to, you know, all the different sites, CNN, MSNBC, The Washington Post, The Philadelphia Inquirer, they all focused on the fact that RFK was dropping out and endorsing Trump. And then most of them talked about, had articles about the Kennedy family's reaction to RFK endorsing Trump. And none of it talked about him shredding the mainstream media or shredding the Democratic Party. And the first, you know, 10, 12 minutes of his very, very passionate speech, that's what it was all about. And nobody even printed those words. And I thought, wow, that is really a statement of what has happened to the mainstream media today. This is not about providing unbiased coverage of the events. I mean, and RF Kennedy called the media out and said, you are an organ of the Democratic National Committee. That is what you are. And they proved his point. I mean, the fact that they stopped live streaming him when he called them out says all you need to know. They proved his point in grand fashion.
Yeah, and even the at the point where he talked about another famous independent candidate, Ross Perot, back in the day, and how many times, and when he gave those stats that Ross Perot, you have to, you know, give the media credit back then, that the media was covering all the candidates, but for him, I think he had, what did he say, two interviews, and they were Fox News, basically, you know?
Yes.
So,
yes.
He's
no, it does. And he certainly did not get fair treatment. And yet the media would constantly put out, you know, statements from the rest of the Kennedy family lionizing RFK, you know, for his decisions, talking about how, you know, their parents would be rolling over in their grave about what RFK was doing. I mean, it was just brutal, absolutely brutal. And there was nothing objective about it. And for them not to share RFK's statements on Friday about the media and about the Democratic Party. I mean, we've seen so many people. I mean, I joke that I was one of the original Democratic defectors following COVID. I mean, it took me 3 months after the shutdowns and lockdowns to denounce the Democratic Party, and I've never gone back. I mean, it's taken other people longer to do that. But, you know, we see people like RFK. I mean, the Kennedys are as close to royalty in this country as we're ever going to have. And for someone of RFK's stature to walk away from the party because of the way he was treated is newsworthy in and of itself. We have people like Tulsi Gabbard. We have people like Jennifer Say. There are people all over the country who have said, you know, listen, we're not okay with what the Democratic Party's become. And we're not necessarily Republicans either, but we are not okay with the progressive arm of the Democratic Party and the way that they've co-opted what's happening.
Yeah, and just to you know, I'll highlight this because I've worked in media and television in the, you know, most of my adult life and my career before moving over here to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But I will tell you that in my theory, this has been going, you know, I think of that song, How Long Has This Been Going On? And so in my theory, I would submit to you that when we talk about a Ross Perot type, there are many to this day who say that Ross Perot in 1992 cost George H.W. Bush that seat, and that went to Clinton, because if you look at Perot, he got like 19% of the vote.
Right.
And so, you know, think about, you know, I know that RFK Jr., being a longtime Democrat, you know, he was just saying, hey, at least the media gave some equal play to an independent. I would push back on that one even and say, you know what? I think that the media, the reason that they gave Ross Perot so much airtime was that they knew that if he had more of a vote, which 19%, that's respectable for an independent, and
Absolutely.
It cost Bush that spot. And so this media bias has existed for a very long time, which is why I always say, Beth Ann, Trump was born of this. He didn't create this. A lot of people think, oh, he created the fake news. Now, I've worked in television, news media, you know, literally my entire adult life. He was born of it. And so there's a reason for that, that he has arisen. For those who don't like Trump, I would simply say that he was the answer to this. But this has been going on for a very long time. It's just that before the so-called mainstream media, they were hiding it. They tried to hide it. Now they don't try to hide it. They just like wear it proudly. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I totally agree. And I posted my article this morning on LinkedIn, and the quote that I used with it was from Thomas Sowell back in 1995. So 1995, Thomas Sowell wrote, "The media are less a window on reality than a stage on which officials and journalists perform self-scripted, self-serving fictions." And truer words could not be written today. And I mean, this is, 30 years ago. And so to your point, Dawn, I think that you're absolutely right that this has been going on a very, very long time. And the journalistic integrity that we have lost is just tragic to me. And that is why I am so grateful to outlets like Broad and Liberty, you know, groups like Newsmax and the Daily Wire, these groups, the Epoch Times, groups that actually care about representing, all sides of what's happening. I think it's incredibly important, because without the truth, without information, we cannot make good decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? I will say this. Imagine what we didn't know without Elon Musk buying, because we got a piece, until this week with Zuckerberg, obviously. But with Elon Musk, he revealed a lot to us just by that buyout.
No question. And I honestly think that what Elon Musk did gave Zuckerberg the courage to admit what had happened, because I think previously Zuckerberg had not felt completely comfortable to be that forthcoming. And I think that he realized, whether from an ethical or moral or a legal standpoint, that he needed to be completely honest about what happened and acknowledge the mistakes that they made. I think that Elon Musk opened the door for him to be able to do that.
Well, that's brilliant. I think that's, often we hear the words, they have permission, but I think you're exactly right that opened it. There was also some congressional pressure. Nick Kale, host of the morning show, Kale and Company. Thank you to my colleague Nick, who just had texted me the End Wokeness's tweet, who put out that the man in Philadelphia who gunned down and tried to kill 8 innocent Americans is a person who is an illegal immigrant, and he's being identified as an MS-13 member from El Salvador. And that was just put out within the past hour or so.
Wow.
That's being revealed. And so it plays into, you have also another story you're very busy writing, Beth Ann Rossica, that you put out at broadandliberty.com. Talking about ICE and the documentation, and disputing counties' assertion that they do comply with those immigration policies. You know this as well as I do, that oftentimes when we see these headlines about a shooting, let's say in Philadelphia, and pretty much every morning at 6 a.m., I'm reporting on that on Kale and Company, and there's no way, unless I can tap into a police source overnight and say, hey, is this individual, does this such and such incident involve anybody who's illegal or non-citizen? Unless I can do that privately on background, Beth Ann, there's no way in a sanctuary city, the cops are not allowed on the official record to put that this person is a non-citizen.
Correct. Now, and Philadelphia, so the article that I did on Monday talked about a group called the Center for Immigration Studies. They're a nonprofit think tank, and they categorize jurisdictions as being sanctuary counties or cities. Everybody knows Philadelphia proudly wears its badge that it is a sanctuary city, it's a sanctuary county. And they're listed by ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement from the U.S. federal government. ICE lists them as a non-cooperative jurisdiction. So basically what happens is that when somebody gets arrested at a county level, they automatically put their fingerprints through a system. And if they're listed as being in the country illegally, then that information is transmitted to ICE, to the federal government. And the federal government puts out these detainers, ICE detainers, on people who are here illegally, and they're in some sort of trouble, and they need to be questioned or held by ICE. So what's supposed to happen, according to the U.S. federal government standards, ICE, is that the local county prison is supposed to notify ICE that the prisoner is going to be released, and they're supposed to hold them up to 48 hours to give ICE time to come and pick them up. So Philadelphia is listed as non-cooperative because Philadelphia will neither notify ICE that they're going to release this person, nor will they hold them up to 48 hours. The collar counties, Chester, Delaware, Bucks, Montgomery, they will notify ICE that they're going to release somebody, but they won't hold them up to 48 hours. So they may, you know, call and say, hey, we're releasing this person in 5 minutes. Well, do you think that ICE is really going to be able to get to the county prison in 5 minutes? No. So they're considered limited cooperation. And what I put out in my article this week, this is actually the second story I've done on this topic, because the Center for Immigration Studies did a FOIA request from the federal government. In my article, you can see the internal document from ICE that lists every jurisdiction in the country that is limited or non-cooperative in terms of working with ICE. So this is not now the Center for Immigration Studies saying you're a sanctuary city. This is the federal government identifying jurisdictions that are non-cooperative or limited cooperation with the federal government on these issues.
And so what does it mean for local communities as far as, and you're talking about Bucks County, you're talking about the suburbs. I have police sources in the so-called collar counties, you know, Montgomery County, Bucks County, Delaware County, Chester County, and they're talking about this. If you go to the Chesco site, just look at all of the individuals who've been arrested and detained and tell me that some of these individuals are not legally here in this country. And yet that's never reported. It's not documented.
Right, right. No, absolutely. And I think that it is a big impact for people in the local collar counties because they don't know. We don't know who's here illegally. We don't know what's happening. And when the police, when our local, not our local police, but the county police, the sheriff's office, when they don't notify ICE, they could be releasing somebody who is potentially dangerous back into the community. And that's what ICE talks about, is that it is safer for everyone for them to come to a prison and apprehend somebody than have to go through, you know, a manhunt to find somebody in the community. Now, the situation here in Chester County, we're at the one-year anniversary of the Cavalcante escape. Now, that was a slightly different scenario because that person was going to be transferred to a state prison. But again, that person, Cavalcante, was here illegally. And again, why in the world we would even process that person and pay to keep them in a state institution rather than deporting them back to their home country is a whole nother question. But the fact is that our local counties are not being forthcoming and honest. They claim that they fully cooperate with ICE, but this document clearly shows that they do not fully cooperate with ICE. And Bucks County was the most appalling to me because in their request for comment, they basically said that the Center for Immigration Studies is listed as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. So, you know, that was their response. No response about, well, it was actually ICE that deemed them, you know, limited cooperation, but that's what they fall back on each and every time.
Yeah. And so, coming up on the November election, what would be, you know, and this is why they don't want this in the headline that we, for example, this MS-13 gang member, you know, who shot people here in Philadelphia, it's not being covered here. Nobody wants to cover it here because we have an upcoming election. And so who suffers the most? Not just suburbanites who are worried about these gang members who are going into the communities, committing burglaries. I know this for a fact and I've confirmed it. They're committing burglaries and that sort of thing, but also some of these carjackings. And so in the city of Philadelphia and in cities like New York, for example, the groups of individuals who are preyed upon by these, you know, MS, 13 gang members are people in minority communities, Black communities, Hispanic communities, Asian communities, in the neighborhoods. That's who's feeling the brunt of this. And yet we're not even able to really report in full to your point and your great work that you're doing, Beth Ann Rossica. We're not even able to report it because they really blockade us from telling you, the public, whether or not these individuals committing these assaults, these crimes, are citizens of our country.
Right, right. And you know, never mind how much else having all of these people in our country is costing us.
Yes.
And is going to cost our children and our grandchildren and everybody else. So to your point, it's another media bias situation, because the mainstream media has one narrative that they want to tell, and they have no interest in actually reporting the truth. I mean, the Philadelphia Inquirer is as bad as the rest of them. You know, you look back on school board races and what they chose to report on and what they chose not to report on, because mm-hmm. what they choose not to report on is almost more important than what they choose to report on.
Amen. Well, until next time, you know, as we are back to school, and we'll be back to talking about education, but my friend Beth Ann Rossica, broadandliberty.com, you do such incredible work. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day, Dawn. Take care.
You too.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.